follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome to the Postcast. I'm Mark Story. I'm here today with Tom Siegel, Nick Watts, and Tom Nugent from Paddy Power. Hi, chaps.
Hello.
Coming up on today's show, we'll be looking back at the action from Sandown and Punchdown over the weekend, and also a fantastic jump season in Britain and Ireland. We'll also look ahead to a really good Ascot card on Wednesday featuring two Group 3s. But first, we'll preview the Guineas weekend at Newmarket. Nick, what's your fancy for the 2,000 Guineas on Saturday?
I think, because the way the weather's been over the winter and spring, we've had this horrible, wet, disgusting winter. It's come back again this week. Anyone who's been on the eastern half of the country is, you know, it's wet, windy, horrible, miserable. Yeah. I don't think the Colts and the fillies at this very, very early stage of the season, half of them aren't going to know whether they're coming or going.
Yeah.
I think it heavily favours a horse who's had a run, at least, in one of the trials this year, rather than one that's coming there fresh and first time out. So I'm quite interested in the Craven that was run a couple of weeks ago. I know Massel won that very, very nicely indeed. I made the point at the time that maybe he wasn't as good as he looked and Roaring Lion wasn't as bad as he looked that day. I think there's probably something in the middle. I heard rumours that John Gosden was thinking about running Roaring Lion at the weekend. And I think that might be a good shout and he might be a good each-way option. I don't think you become a bad horse overnight on account of one run. You look at the two-year-old form, it's very good. The Royal Lodge worked out really well. Nelson and Mildenberger have both come out and won since. And if you fancy Saxon Warrior, then Roaring Lion is right there on the Racing Post Trophy run. So if Gosden runs him, it's a big vote of confidence. And, you know, like I said, on a more general level, I would be favouring anything that's had a run this weekend in the two classics over something that's coming there without a run.
Tom, would you concur with that view of Nick's?
No. No, I wouldn't really. I mean, I think it depends where you are. If you're in Newmarket and the rain is terrible, then yes. But I think up north, it's not been quite as bad. I think horses from Mark Johnson's yard out aren't having a problem first time out. I think Aidan will have targeted the race with Saxon Warrior, so I wouldn't be totally worried about him first time up. I personally think that Gustav Klimt's probably the best one of his anyway. But I wouldn't be certain that you would have needed a run. And the other thing was I don't see Roaring Lion winning. I really don't. I mean, I get Nick's point. But all week it's been, we're going for the Dante. He's a mile and a quarter horse. All the, you know, horses don't lose their trials by 10 lengths and win guineas very often. So I wouldn't really fancy him. I'm not sure where I do agree with Nick, because I don't think Massar, I love Massar as a horse, but I think he might have reached his bottom of his price now, around 5-1. I think it's totally wide open myself. I actually think Gustav Klimt might win, but he's, I mean, on form you can't fancy him because he beat three stable mates and a horse rated 93. Alarcam is the one that interests me still. I still think there might be a bit of juice in his price. I think he might drift a bit on the weekend. And I just think there's something about him that I like. And the vibe, and I just every time they're interviewed, the Johnson lot, they're always just sort of, they just think he's going to win, I get the impression. Mm. I just think they think he's really good. And every time they've won the Guineas, it's been with a horse first time out. They've prepared him specifically for the race. I think Saxon Warrior, for example, who I love as a horse, might be looking at later on down the season. And to be honest, I don't think it's a great race. So if LR Cam is as good as they think, I think he might serve it up to Gustav Klimt, and they'd be my two. Massar is obviously a player, but I don't think he'd want any rain. And if the rain is belting down, as they say, up until Wednesday, I think he'd be much better on good ground. So maybe for me, LR Cam, just tipping it over Gustav Klimt.
Neither of you have mentioned US Navy Flag. 16-1, two Group 1s last year. Okay, didn't come out and perform very well at Leopardstown on his return. Would you give him a chance?
What do you think, Watsy? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if he just nicked all those races as a two-year-old and, you know, others would improve past him this season. That's my opinion of him at this stage.
Ground's key for him as well. I think he's by Warfront. I know he won the Middle Park in softish ground, but was probably a pretty weak Middle Park that. I think he was better on the ground, was faster in the Dewhurst. So I think it'd have to be really rattling quick for him to have a chance myself.
Okay. What are the prices, Tom?
Gustav Klimt is our 5-2 favourite at the moment and shortening up all the time. Saxon Warrior next in 9-2. Massar 9-2 as well. LR Cam 6-1. Without Parole 11 at 14-1 bar those.
And what do you like, Tom?
I quite like Ellercam as well. I thought that Somerville Stakes win last season was very, very good. I would agree with Tom's point about just the connections getting quite jiggy anytime they talk about him, and I'd like his price as well. Gustav Klimt I thought was very, very impressive in Leopardstown the last day, but again, he just bet Imaging, who was just fit after a run in Cork. I'm not certain about that form, but he's probably a deserving favourite. But it's Ellercam for me at the moment at 6-1.
So Ellercam, very popular. Now, before that, there's a Jockey Club Stakes at Newmarket. Defoe's been supplemented for this. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Well, I only had a quick glance at it. Haven't long had the declarations, but you mentioned Defoe. I think he's probably the one they wanted to beat. I mean, he won very nicely in Newbury last time, didn't he? Beat Danehill Kodiak. Who's in the field again, wouldn't see any reason why he would reverse the form. Only one bad run last year at the end of maybe quite a long season, maybe possibly over the top. We've got much more in him this season. He's the one they all have to beat, I think.
Any thoughts, gents?
It's interesting, Mark. I think Defoe will be odds on. I think he's going to be impossible to beat. I think he's a really good horse. The point I would make is how good last year's St. Ledger was. I know Defoe didn't run his race, but Capri came out with a Group 1 penalty and won. Crystal Ocean's come out and won. Defoe's come out and won. Rekindling went and won the Melbourne Cup. I think we all sit there and sort of say the St. Ledger's had its day. I think last year's race was tremendous. I think it was as good a renewal as I can remember. And I'm quite old now, so I can remember a few. And I'd love to see Defoe come out, or Count Octave's in there. Sixth in the Ledger, he came back and won at Wolverhampton the other day too. I'd just like to make the point that the St. Ledger was a really, really good race, and I think we need to up in the limelight, because I'm so bored of these sprinters. I really am. So all we ever talk about in this country are these stupid sprints, the Commonwealth Cup and the King's Stand, but the St. Ledger's a proper race, and I think last year we had a proper race, and I'd love to see Defoe go in again and then maybe go on to the Coronation Cup and give Van Abel something to think about.
Why are they stupid sprints, Tom?
It's just that we've decided to base our pedigree and our breeding industry on sprinters.
Right.
We've got so many of those sprint sires, Dark Angel, lovely, great sires, done incredibly well, but we're taking two-year-olds off to stud at the age, after their two-year-old year, and we're breeding 200 horses from two-year-olds that we never have any good, and we've only got three or four proper stallions over middle distances. Consequently, that's why Godolphin, Ballydoyle have been able to dominate, because they've got Galileo. No one else has been able to compete with them. Occasionally the Dubarbies can come in there and give them a race, but most of the time everyone else has got these sprint sires, and therefore the staying races are much weaker than they should be, which is why I was pointing out that the St. Ledger was such a good race last year, because that's what we need.
Yeah.
They're the proper races. They're the proper flat races, not the sprints. The proper races are the Derbies and the Guineas and the Ledgers and the races that made the flat racing what it was, and I wish we could get back to them being the best races.
And the next item on the agenda is the Palace House Stakes.
Hey,
come on,
no.
Tom, take it away.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think, Tom? Am I right or wrong?
I think you're, in terms of the staying ranks, I think you're dead right. I think the tide is turning. I think the breeding industry is very conscious of this, and the tide is turning in terms of prize money lately. A load of those staying handicaps have got a kick with a bit more prize money, and as well you've got that staying series, whatever you call it, bonus. It's £1 million there now. So I think that they are conscious of it. But you see, the thing about flat breeding is everyone wants the quick buck. You take a two-year-old Group 1 winning two-year-old off the sudden, all of a sudden you're getting a right few quid in the door. It's very hard to resist that. So it's a delicately poised thing at the moment, but I think the tide is turning.
Now we got this. What's this Palace House we've got to look at? Well, come on, what's he get? Let's take it away.
Are we moving on to that?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, well, I had Havana Grey written down. Again, just a quick glance before I came in, but only one poor run as a two-year-old last season in Norfolk. Otherwise, he was excellent, wasn't he? And good seconds in the pre-morning Flying Childers. He could be a real star this season as a three-year-old. But again, like I said, it's just an early look at this stage. But that was the name that caught my eye.
Yeah, like him. He's good, isn't he? He's very fast. I think three-year-olds, what do we think? Do they have a good chance in this race? I know you go back a few years and Henry Candy won it with a three-year-old. you know, a few years, I can't remember what it was called, a more proper, I think it was called. And so over the years, they've not done so well in this, but I don't think it's a great race. And I think I agree with Watsy. I think Havana Gold could be a good horse this year.
Paddy Power, Tom?
Just interesting to see what price Mab's Cross goes up for a show. Just on the, he could be an improver in the race, and he might be an each way price, but we'll see what price he goes up. It's not up just yet.
Okay, gents, it's competition time. Every week we give you the chance to win a £25 or €25 free bet from Paddy Power. To be in with a chance of winning this week, simply tweet your answer to the following question using the hashtag postcast, and we'll announce the winner on Friday's show. The question is, who was crowned Irish champion trainer at Punchestown last week? I'll repeat that one. Who was crowned Irish champion trainer at Punchestown last week?
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Well, the action comes thick and fast at Newmarket on Sunday, where we've got the 1,000 guineas. What's everyone's fancy? Nick, what do you like for the 1,000 guineas?
I've got to confess, I was put on to this a bit by Tom to start with, yeah. But I Can Fly. I've been looking through her back performances and watched her performance again and again in the trial. And I thought it was quite a good run, encouraging run first time out, bearing in mind the way Aidan's come on from run to run to run. Like I said, I go back to my previous theory that I'm liking the fact that she has had a run and she comes here fit and well. So I think she could be the one for me. Soliloquy, I don't know if I've said that right, but has been supplemented. She won very well at Newmarket a couple of weeks ago. I'll probably prefer the pair of them, and I could see them fighting it out over Happily maybe. I'd side with the I Can Fly angle at the moment.
Even on the bare on the form book, you wouldn't think that way, would you, if you just looked at the form of that of I Can Fly against Happily?
No, not necessarily, but I thought there's plenty to take from that debut run, and you know, there's a few of Aidan's in days gone by, Homecoming Queen, the likes of those who just come on massively for the for the opening, like winter last year.
Just guessing what's going to happen rather than what has happened looking back. Tom, what do you think?
I'm going to sort of change my tune here and think that Nick might be onto something with having had a run. I think it's very much more important for the fillies than the colts. I think over the years, if you look back through Aidan's winners of this race, I think Only Minding is the only one that's come without having a run. Now, she was exceptional, and Happily's form when she beat Olmedo and Massar is exceptional too. So she could easily be that good. But I, like Nick, in the fillies race, would prefer a horse that had a run. And therefore, I like I Can Fly, as I say. On form, she's got plenty to find. I think the sort of the one that's gone under the radar for me is the Dubawi filly of Richard Hannan's, Anna Nerium, that won the free handicap. She won it in a quicker time than Soliloquy. She was very strong at the finish. I think just because she was a 25-1 shot that day, sort of people have denounced the form a bit, said it wasn't as good as it was. But I was really impressed with her. I think she's a really strong stayer at the trip. She's going to love a mile. She won't mind soft ground being by Dubawi. And at the prices at the moment, she'd be one I'd be looking at. But I've nailed my colours to I Can Fly a few weeks ago, and I'm definitely not going to say no to her. The one, I don't know, Tom might be able to help us here. It's a horse of Willie McCreary's in the Liquid Amber, who I was really impressed with. She's by Kitten's Joy. It's the same sire as Roaring Lion. And I noticed he kept her in there at the last stage today. And she was really impressive when she won her Group 3, was it last year? She won a Curragh Group 3 by 5 lengths from a few of Aidan's, including Bye Bye Birdie's in there. And I think she's going to be better over further. But I just thought it was interesting that she was in there and she's a big price. So I'll be having a look at her. She goes against the theory of having had a run, and I wonder whether she might be getting ready for the Oaks. But she's definitely an interesting filly to have a look at. As far as having a bet at the moment, I would suggest maybe an each-way bet on Anna Nerium would be the one, because I think I Can Fly might have reached the bottom of her price now at around 7-1.
Tom, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, just on Tom's point about Liquid Amber, she won the Flame of Tara Stakes up to Curra, which is a Group 3, and she run it really well. She bit Ballet Shoes by, I think, 4 or 5 lengths, I think it was. But she is a 20-1 shot at the moment, and she is definitely an each-way bet, I would say. Although, I'm going to be slightly more predictable with my other selection. I really fancy Happily at the top of the market. She's a dual Group 1 winning 2-year-old, and the the lads make a good point about a filly having a run before coming into their three-year-old, or having a tilt at a classic, say. But I gave up doubting Aidan O'Brien a long, long time ago. And at 9-4, I think she's a fair bet. And she's a lot better than these. At the moment, I think she's a lot better than these.
And what's the rest of your betting on the race?
So Happily is 9-4, Wild Illusion 7-1, I Can Fly is also 7s alongside Soliloquy, 10-1 Lauren's, 12s Ananirium, and 14-1 Bar.
Any thoughts on the Dahlia Stakes, Nick?
Not really, just I saw Wahida entered. She's, again, names just catch my eye. Wahida is the early one, obviously won the Breeders' Cup last time she was seen. She's a very good filly, so Godolphin obviously started the season with a bang, so she would be the one at the top of my list. But yeah. Again, it's early days, cursory look. Yeah.
Anything else, chaps, you want to pick out from the weekend?
I'd say Elegant Pose might go up a big price in that Dahlia Stakes. She was placed in a Group 3 in Nace the last day. She travelled into it really well, and that was her first run of the season. Gerlines is no mug. She wouldn't be going over for the crack.
Tom?
I'll leave it with the boys there. I thought, the decks have only just come out for the... can't... Nace, we haven't even got the decks for yet, so it's hard to make a prediction about those. But I mean, obviously there's so many good races. I think the thing about Newmarket on Sunday is there will be a draw effect. There's that big 6 furlong handicap at some stage. I don't know whether it's on Saturday or Sunday, but that will be a race that punters will like to get involved in. And I think there will, because of the rain and because of the way, it might be pace dictated, it might be past a strip dictated, but it's I think it's on the Sunday, and I think that's a race that punters like getting involved in, but will have the advantage of having looked on Saturday. So that would be a thing I would do. I'd be waiting until Saturday before getting stuck into any of those big handicaps on the Sunday.
Have you had a look at Ascot Wednesday, Tom?
Yeah, very quickly. Yeah. It's cut up quite a lot, hasn't it?
There's more fields, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. There's only a few runners in each race. I mean, I thought it's interesting. Aidan's bringing over a two-year-old. I couldn't see another runner he had. So to bring a two-year-old on the plane on his own, I thought was quite interesting. I wondered whether it's by the first season sire, No Nay Never, who haven't actually made a brilliant start to their sort of campaign this year. And I wondered whether that's the sort of the Scat Daddy line, which are also good at Ascot. I wonder whether they're just having a look to see whether these horses are better at Ascot on the all-weather than they have been in the soft ground at home. So I thought that was interesting. But the Cigarro Stakes is the interesting race for me. I thought it was interesting that Torsador for Jessica Harrington was coming over. But I'm interested, as I say, let's talk about that St. Ledger form. Raheen House is in there. He finished 7th in the St. Ledger. He came, I think he's got good Ascot form. He was unlucky to not win the Queen's Vase, was it? Was he came late and then he won, beat a horse called Weekender at Ascot afterwards. I think he's quite an interesting horse for the season going forward. Not sure he'll stay 2 miles, that would be interesting, but there's only 6 in there, so it's probably not a race I'll be getting too involved in.
What was the name of that O'Brien two-year-old, Tom?
It's called, in the first race, it's by No Nay Never. What's it called? It's called The Irish Rover. Good name, isn't it? Song, yeah. The Irish Rover, what a good name that is.
If you like the song, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick, anything for Wednesday?
No, Tom mentioned Raheen House. I'd be quite interested in him. Yeah. I think he's taking on Desert Skyline again. Yeah. I think they finished 1-2 in the Bahrain Trophy last year. This race can have an impact on the Ascot Gold Cup sometimes, but I don't think it will do this year.
No,
I think they're a step removed from the likes of Order St. George.
Mm.
But Brian Meehan started the season reasonably well. He had a big prize winner at Newbury a couple of weeks ago and another couple run well. Normally he's a bit of a slow starter, so Raheen House, I don't think he's ever won first time out before, but he might be ready to do himself justice, and he would be my pick.
Tom, any betting on these races?
No, not yet. The one I'd flag up is Torsador as well, and that staying race absolutely bombed in Dubai, but only 30-odd days later, they're obviously willing to put a line through that run, and I'd say it could go well. Colm Dunhu on board.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Okay, let's look back on a fantastic week at Punchestown and a great day at Sandown on Saturday. What was your highlight of the Punchestown Festival? Was it Faheen's memorable win?
Bruce, what about our old friend Faheen? What's the gen on him, do you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know. He's going to go 3 miles, isn't he?
Well, I think that's really interesting. I'll tell you why for that Stales Hurdle. Nichols Canyon. 2 miler, 2.5 miler, went up to the stairs hurdle, won. Yanworth last year ran in the champion hurdle, went up to the 3 mile race, won. Identity Thief ran in the champion hurdle this year, went up to the 3 mile at Aintree, won. All at big prices, all because everyone thought they didn't stay. He didn't run as badly as everyone suggests in the champion hurdle last time. Before that, he was only beaten a length by Super Sunday, who we know was second in the world. If he went 3 miles, I think he'd be a massive player, and he's 16-1. I think he is. He's a very interesting horse going up to 3 miles.
Was it the Willie Mullins six-timer? Undersows defeat of Duvan. Footpad's brilliance. What next for Sam Crowe? Will he bounce back? Tell me all about Punchestown, Nick.
I think from a sentimental angle, it was great to see Faheen doing what he did. And he could be called the winner some way out. I thought he travelled really, really well. And it's an easy game in hindsight, isn't it? It makes you wonder why he wasn't doing this earlier in the season and, you know, didn't go for the stairs hurdle at Cheltenham, maybe. But no, it's fantastic to see him win. I think from a point of view for me, for the future, Bell's Hill, I thought, was really good in the Punchestown Gold Cup. I think he's turned a corner this season. He looked really good in the Bobby Joe on his comeback. He was mooted about going for the Grand National because he was quite well weighted in that, and subsequent events have proved that he was, but he didn't go for that. He went for the Irish National, ran a stormer in that, looked like he was going to win, got distracted at the last, didn't quite do it, but made amends this time. And he's a really interesting horse, this, because if you look back to his Cheltenham record, it's actually quite poor. He's been to the festival three times. The best he's done was a distant third in the RSA Chase last season. But you look back to his previous outings. One was in the bumper. The other one was in the Supreme Novices, which obviously you can see now wouldn't have suited him at all. And he's kind of handicapped out of the Grand National now. So he's probably going to be given a Gold Cup campaign next season. Do we forgive him his Cheltenham runs? Based on recent evidence, I'd be interested in him for Cheltenham next season. Because for me, I think he's really turned a corner. So he was very impressive, and I think of the Willie Mullins Gordon Elliott thing, I think I wrote something about it in the week, that, you know, Gordon came into this week with a 500 grand advantage or something like that. He'd won the Irish National. He had those 2 1-2-3s in the Grade One on the first day with the Storyteller and the bumper, and he still couldn't get the job done. Now, that doesn't say anything about Elliott at all, but it just shows the strength, amazing strength in depth that Willie Mullins has got. He can block out races, so even if he doesn't win them, he's picking up all the place money. I struggle to see how Gordon Elliott can ever win this trainer's title in the near future, just because Mullins has that ability to, like I said, just block out races. Yeah. And you know, if he doesn't win it, he's going to get the second, third and fourth.
It was interesting on day one when he had Undersow, Min and Duvan all in one race. And basically, that who's going to have the pretty much a 1-2-3, not quite. But that's what he was. It was that set out. This is the way I'm going to approach this. And it went on like that throughout the whole week. It was quite extraordinary with his firepower.
He did it in the stairs as well, of course.
Yeah, he did, yeah. Because, I mean, it's easy to say now, but he had the favourites for the four biggest, most valuable races at the start of the week. So perhaps we should have seen it all, like Tom, who saw Faheen's second coming, didn't
you,
Tom?
Do I really sound like that? God, it sounds like I just come out of a swimming pool with one of those things over my nose. Do I really sound? I sound like the bloke who's got tunes. Do you remember the advert for tunes?
Yeah,
make you breathe more easily. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
God.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Yes. Did you record that before or after the race? When was that? Yeah.
Well, you know. Yeah. So. Yeah. Occasionally, very, very occasionally these days.
I hope you haven't got a mortgage now after that. He was so confident.
Well, I just like the horse. I just think that we get the prices wrong about it. I mean, the thing is, if it had been a handicapper that had run badly a couple of times, everyone scrubs it off and says, we'll come back to it. If it's a good horse, they've gone immediately. Yeah, but the point is, two of his runs this season were just about the best form on offer, weren't they? Yeah. When he won the Morgiana and he was second in the Irish Champion Hurdle, I don't think Penhill could have been second in an Irish Champion Hurdle for starters. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we immediately put him down as, just because he didn't win the champion, has been gone at the game, and he's 16-1.
That's so interesting, that fact. Psychology of people. Once a horse who people have loved doesn't quite live up to that anymore, they just get dropped.
They get dropped immediately. But the thing is, when we're looking at these 20-runner handicaps, Tom and Nick will know, the first thing we do is forget horses with bad runs, because that's the way you're getting into the race, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the way you're getting the value that we're all looking for.
You think it's part of a wider plan.
Yeah. Well, not necessarily, but you're able to say, oh, there was maybe a reason why that didn't run well. But when it's a good horse like Faheen, everyone goes, oh, he's just gone at the game. But two of his runs said he hadn't. So that was the thing. I mean, Footpad was excellent again. I think the one horse that stood out for me, I don't know if Tom, were you there, Tom?
But
I thought Willie Mullins' novice chaser, Cadmium, that won the 2 mile handicap chase, was brilliant. They went like They couldn't have gone quicker. They had really fast horses, proper good horses like Sperodek in there going really fast. He never came off the bridle. He took it up on the bridle. He sprinted clear and he won by 8 or 9. There is no way on God's earth he cannot be top class, in my opinion. He has to be. I know he was only rating off 133, but he was 3.5 seconds quicker than Footpad. He is a sensationally good horse. And I think if they ran against him now, I think that would be the one horse that could give Footpad a race from the novices of this season. So going forward to next season, I don't know what he'll be racing. Probably go up a stone. I think 147, if that's what he is, it'll still be a stone and a half too low. I think he'll end up running in the champion chase of the JLT, and I think he's going to be really, really good. So he was the horse that most caught my eye from the whole Punchestown Festival. I couldn't believe how well he travelled through that race, and I think he's really excellent.
What about Bell's Hill, Tom? Did you like Bell's Hill's performance?
And I do like Bell's Hill, but Nick's made the point there. Where are we going to back him to win something? Because if he doesn't like Cheltenham and he's never... And I just watched the race against Mike Bite the other day, you know, in the RSA last year, and he couldn't get anywhere near him, to be honest. And so I just don't know where I'm going to see an opportunity to back him to be a good, you know, he might be very good, but I think he's going to have to race in those small field races now. And maybe the Irish Gold Cup or one of those
for the Lexus or something like that.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a massive price now, is he? I wouldn't have thought
to the top of the market, but he might be 3 to 1 or 7.
Yeah,
to 2 or
maybe
something.
Maybe something like that might be a race for him, you know, but I wouldn't give up on. I mean, I think the ground might have been a bit too slow for Road to Respect. I thought he might come back and win a race like that on good ground. But yeah, I do. I like Nick says. I think Bell's Hill's very good. I think I like what I also I like about him is the fact that he does nothing when he hits the front. That's what happened in the Irish National, wasn't it? He was just mucking about, and the same happened here. He looked like he was going to win by 112 lengths, and he sort of scrambled home at the end. And I think that's just because he's just does nothing in front. So that's always a great sign for a horse with plenty left. So I like him too, but just don't know where I'm going to see a chance to make that sort of assumption pay off.
Now, did we learn anything about Sam Crow at Punchestown? Fell 3 out.
I didn't know. I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's a tricky one, isn't it? I thought Mellon was beat. That's for sure. I thought he was flat to the boards, but Sam Crow. I don't know. I'd love to see him have them training for the champion. I think he needs another crack at it, doesn't he? I mean, I just don't know what to say. I mean, he just fell over, didn't he?
Paddy Power, Tom?
Yeah, for Sam Crow, he just fell. It's simple as that. I wouldn't read into it too much. I'd be very surprised if they stuck hurdling with him, though. Just given connections, given what the O'Learys want. They want chasers. They want staying chasers. They want to win Gold Cups, basically, and they're going to try and make a Gold Cup horse out of this lad, you'd imagine. And he will be very exciting going over fences. Like, let's not forget, just because he fell in a Punchestown Champion Hurdle doesn't make him kind of only mediocre in open company. He's a novice running against open-class horses. He will be much, much better next year when he goes novice chasing, and again the following year when he's chasing in open company. Now, I'm guessing. I'd be surprised if they went for a Champion Hurdle, Tom, would you?
I would, to be honest. I think they'll go for the Arkle with him. I think that's just the thing people do these days, isn't it? I mean, look at Altior. We all sat here this time 2 or 3 years ago saying, it's got to be win the Champion Hurdle by miles, and they went straight chasing with him. So my guess is that that's what they'll do with Sam Crow. That's what I'd do, I think. Go to the Arkle, try and win the Arkle with him.
Well, Punchestown was also marked by the retirements of Nina Carberry and Katie Walsh. Gents, what did you know, what are their highlights from their career? What would you pick out as their stellar moments?
For me, one for Nina Carberry was when she won her first Cheltenham Festival race, I think on Dabby Roon for Paul Nolan, because she was still an emerging force in those days, not maybe quite the finished article. But
Watsy, you must have backed this. For you to remember that, you must have had your fortune on that.
I might have had a few shillings on it.
There we go.
But the way she came through down the outside.
He's
it
so
was,
many times.
And she gave it a little twirl of her whip on the running.
You see, you've got it on the video. I've seen it 30,000 times.
Yeah, comes back from the pub and watches that.
It's definitely got to be Dabby Roon, absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt. For Katie Walsh, how she managed to con Thunder and Roses into winning an Irish National, one of the toughest races on the calendar, was something to behold, because if you look back through this horse's form figures, there's more letters than numbers. He's a horrible ride. He's not a very good jumper. So for Katie to win the Irish National on that horse, it must have been some superlative effort. So happy retirement to both. Yeah, it's Dabby Roon and Thunder and Roses for me.
Tom?
I was lucky enough to do a few Cheltenham previews with both of them. Yeah. And the first thing I'll say about them both is that they were incredibly knowledgeable. They were both incredibly on the ball about form, about the needs of certain horses, about the tracks they were riding. You know, this is what I stood out from. I go to a lot of those things and do a lot of those things. And very few of the participants actually make an impression on me because they can't, they don't want to think about that because they've got things to happen the next day, you know, or, you know, they're riding all the time. But both Nina and Katie were so extremely professional in everything they did and were great fun as well. I have to say they were both incredibly funny, taking the mickey out of me from start to finish. But I thought that was what stood out for me for both of them, is that they were just proper professional jockeys, and they were as good as anyone.
Tom?
Yeah, I just echoed the lads there. They're two absolutely mighty women and mighty competitors as well. I think any sport would be very, very proud to have them as ambassadors, and I think Irish Racing is very lucky to have had two women represent them in such a fashion. Again, Katie, Thunder and Rose, is absolutely amazing, and Nina, like, there's so many for the two of them. Nina, for me, my favourite moment with Nina, or moments rather, she was had a close association with Enda Bulger, of course, and on the fringe winning the double treble. Now Jamie Codd rode him the second time in Aintree, but he won the double treble winning the Cheltenham entry and Punchestown Fox Hunter chases, and she rode him 5 of the 6 occasions. That'll be one of the associations that'll stick out in my mind for Nina Carberry.
But not Dabaroon, Tom.
Not Dabaroon. No. I wouldn't go as niche as Nick Watts now, but no, a very, very happy retirement to the two ladies. Yeah. They're great.
Now, while all that was going on at Sandown, Step Back was winning very impressively in the Bet 365 Gold Cup. Was it as good as it looks, Tom?
I think he was, yeah. I mean, normally you come to the Bet365 Gold Cup and the form never works out. I think there's a few reasons this year why these end of the season races might be more relevant. One, we've had soft ground basically the whole season. So therefore, it's not, the form isn't turned on its head comes the end of the season. Secondly, we've had these trainers, the Mullins and the Elliots and the Hendersons, you know, keep going with all their good horses. Now, I know that wasn't so relevant to the Step Back run, but I think the form will work out. And the thing that I would say about him is that he jumped the last with about 4 foot to spare. He stormed up the hill. He went from 3 lengths in front to 13 lengths in front, and he jig-jogged all the way back to the winner's enclosure. Yeah. There is no way that was a tired horse in any stretch of the imagination. Now, whether he will ever get a scenario as well as the one at Sandown on Saturday, I don't know. But what you can say, he's had 4 runs. He's won a competitive handicap by 13 lengths. He's going to go up a stone. But there's plenty more in the locker for him. Whether, as I say, he'll get that scenario again, I don't know. But I tell you, if they put him up a stone, I'll be very interested in him in any race he runs in. I think they said they might be going for the Grand National and maybe try the Beecher first. But I think the key to him might be going right-handed.
Okay.
I think he just does lean that way. When he won at Faken, he jumped that way. And that would be my slight worry for him. Something at Punchestown or something like that, or, you know, or the race again next year would be where I would. But he's definitely, definitely a massive stayer. And when you're a massive stayer like him, you can win lots of races.
You sound like a man who tipped this horse.
Well, it wasn't quite a Dabaroon moment, I can assure you.
Can we hear this again? Can we hear last week's clip? It would be quite nice.
What about Step Back? He's going to be about 20 to 1, 14 to 1, something like that. It's a horse trained by Mark Bradstock of Coney Gree fame. He was third in a race at Sandown not long ago on soft ground, but he came out last time at Faken and won by 20 lengths. He just looks like the type of horse that's getting better, and what he is going to do is relish the step up in trip. So at the moment, he's number 52 on the list, but he's got a long way to go to get in, but there's so many up the top there that ran on Saturday. He might well get in, and if he gets in, I'd be very interested in him Step Back.
Interesting.
That was last week, believe it or not. It's true. Nick, do you like Step Back? I mean, a lot of these horses, they win the Bet 365, they often don't do anything afterwards, do they?
No, they don't. But I think this is a Bet 365 with a difference.
Okay.
It was similar-ish to the Gold Cup in a way, in that Step Back and Rock the Casbah came clear from quite a long way out and nothing else really got into it. I'm used to like Special Cargo type finishes when something comes flying from like a fence behind at Sandown and goes on and wins up the hill and tight finish. This was anything but. It was the complete opposite. Those two dominated throughout the final circuit, and then as we came to the last and after the last, it was Step Back who went out on his own and won easily. So yeah, I could easily see the form working out. It was as Tom alluded to, you know, it's harder to know next year as to when we're going to get the chance to back him or for what races. But, you know, it's nice for the Bradstocks with Konigry coming into the end of his career to have a, not maybe one in his class, but another nice horse to go to war with. And, yeah, hats off to them and well done to Tom. It was a good find.
Was there anything else on the card on Saturday that impressed you? Obviously, Altior won quite nicely.
Well, Altior was really interesting because in the interview with Nico de Boinville, the boys were saying, you know, what about this horse up in trip? Because he seems like such a strong stayer at 2 miles. And Nico de Boinville was very dismissive of it, saying, you know, if you've got a good 2 miler and as good as he is, why would you ever want to do anything more? Yeah. And, you know, obviously he's got Mike Bites, so he's got a vested interest in maybe keeping them apart. But so I see Altior going on a similar trajectory next season as he did this season. I just hope that Willie Mullins, he said that Footpad might stretch out in trip next season. I don't really want to see that. No. I want to see Footpad and Altior racing against each other. That's what we all want to do. And we might not get it until next March because these things never materialise. But I'd love to see Footpad stay at the minimum trip, Altior do the same, and then they both race against each other.
Chaps, you looking forward to that?
Yeah, looking forward to that. Though, as for a sort of a horse, I'm really... Anyone know anything about this horse called Backbow? I thought he ran a good race in the bumper. Anyone know anything about that, Tom?
Having a clue what you're talking about.
What a good race! He looked like for all the world that he was going to win, turning for home, didn't he? He just pulls too hard. What's the idea with him next year? Will he go novice hurdling?
Ran a blinder. So for anyone who doesn't know, myself and my parents bred this horse Blackbow, who was second at the Champion Bumper during Punchestown. He was second to Tornado Flyer. Ran an absolute belter, and we've had some crack following him this season. He won the Grade 2 in Leopardstown in February and went to Cheltenham, finished fifth. He's very, very gassy in running, very gassy. But if he settles and starts jumping obstacles, I think he'd be a fair horse. Obviously, I'm biased and I have a few of his relatives to sell. But no, I'm really looking forward to seeing him going hurdling next season. I think he could be a really, really good horse over hurdles.
So will this rate your jump season highlight?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That would be my personal highlight. Like, yeah. I can't tell you how much crack myself and my family have had going around following him and his four runs this season. The other big highlight for me was the absolute massive success of the Dublin Racing Festival in Leopardstown in February. That was just such a massive success for Irish racing, for Irish jumps racing. And it told when it came to Cheltenham, because so many horses franked the form of the Dublin Racing Festival at Cheltenham by winning. So that was an absolutely massive success. And it's a big feather in the cap for Irish racing going forward.
Well, my personal highlight was presenting personally RSA. Tom, what was yours?
It has to be Cheltenham. It's always Cheltenham for me. I think we mentioned it last week when... in the thing, I like the Supreme Novice. Supreme Novice Hurdle is always my favourite race of the season. And I just thought it was a breath of fresh air to see different yards involved in the win. You know what I mean? We get so used to the Hendersons and the Mullins and the, you know, and I think 8 of the last 12 or something had gone to Henderson or Mullins. And you're sort of sitting there, and Elliot won it last year, and you're sort of sitting there thinking the same might happen again. And then we had Tom George and Amy Murphy fighting it out with two really promising horses for next year. That was my highlight. I think it's great for the game when you see stuff like that. Not that they, you know, these guys are superb trainers, but they've got so many horses now that to have someone else sort of interlope into them was I just think brilliant. And so therefore that would be my highlight, definitely the Supreme. I'm really looking forward to some of Allboy and Kalashnikov next year.
Nick, what was your niche highlight? I mean, what was your highlight?
Oh, it's Dabby Room when he won the whatever race it was. So
1923.
I can't remember now. Yeah, no, it's that again. No, I'd give a shout out to Aintree. I was out there for 3 days, and as Tom knows, because I've talked about it before, I love that meeting. It's a great antidote to Cheltenham. It's you know, you've got a race each day over the national fences, which is always something to look forward to. But the grade ones now are just as good. Yeah. The handicaps are just as insolvable as the Cheltenham ones. You get horses like Mike Bite going there and winning and doing good things. And the way they've kind of resurrected that meeting and made it what it is today is just fantastic. And, you know, recommend anyone to have 3 days in Aintree. It's brilliant. You'll enjoy it.
Okay, good. Well, the clock moves on. And yesterday with the pre-Gane, Cracksman went out there and won rather impressively. What did you make of the performance?
Yeah,
what's he going to win this year? That's the main thing.
Well, I think it can win whatever they point it at. Yeah. I think, what did he talk about next? Maybe the Tassels Gold Cup in Ireland and then on to Royal Ascot. Yeah, I mean, it'll win whatever is put in front of it, I think. And as for a matchup with Enable, if the two met, I'd rather be with Cracksman. You've got to remember what they said. They all said last year that this is a four-year-old. This is a four-year-old who, whatever he does this season, he'll be much better next year. We've got to next year. He's won the Prix Ganay in scintillating fashion. I'm sure he's going to carry on, and he's a joy to watch.
Cracksman better than Enable, Tom?
Don't know. It's an interesting one, isn't it? I hate to get on Mr. Gosden's wrong side, but I think if in hindsight, he would have definitely run him in the Dante last year. He didn't run him in the Dante because the ground was soft. Now, imagine saying that now. Thought the ground would be too soft for him, but I think he therefore left a derby behind. Whether it would have been the Epsom derby or the Irish derby, I think he would have won one of them with another run under his belt, probably both. And I think he's a brilliant racehorse. I really do. I think he's exceptionally talented. And I think he's fast as well. People always, you know, they have him down as this strong stayer and whatever. But I think he could go back to a mile and win a Group One if he wanted. He was, you know, he never had any problems at any stage in either the Ganay or the race at Ascot last year. Going the trip, he was in front whenever he liked. I just think he's really, really good, and I can't wait to see him take on Enable. I think it's difficult. I think on good ground, on good fast ground, I think that's the one question mark we've still got with Cracksman, isn't it?
Yeah.
That his best form has been with Give Underfoot. I know it wasn't very fast yesterday at all, but it was still early season good ground. So Royal Ascot in the summer on very fast ground might be an issue for him, or the King George might be an issue for him, but I love him. I think he's a great horse.
Tom, what else you got to say about Cracksman?
Yeah, no, he's just very, very, very good. We caught him in the betting. He's 6-4 from 7-4 for the Prince of Wales now, and he got chopped for the King George as well, 5-2 from 4. They talked about the Tats Gold Cup and the Prince of Wales is more likely targets. I wouldn't be surprised if he got a mid-season break and went for something like the Irish Champion Stakes and then went to France. The Arc might be the time where himself and Enable clash. It's worth bearing in mind, if you do fancy Enable to get the better of him, those three-year-old fillies get an awful lot of weight in the Arc, and she won't get those same conditions this year. So Cracksman will be on the better side of the weights there, but it's a really, really tantalising encounter. It's one to look forward to. The first Sunday in October, I'll be counting down the days.
Can I ask a quick question of Watsy?
Oh, go ahead.
Just a quick one, Watsy. Cracksman versus that good horse Dabiroon. Who do you fancy?
Cracksman wouldn't see which way Dabiroon went. Okay. Not with Nina Carver.
That was bothering me.
Well, I've got you there, Tom. What's your weekend eye catcher?
I thought there were a couple at Sandown. The obvious ones, Crystal Ocean, Adayeb. But I thought the winner of the Isha Cup was really good. David Ellsworth horse, and I've forgotten its name. Help me out, someone. Merlin Magic, was it? Something like that? Merlin Magic, yeah. I thought he was really good. I noticed he ran in the Racing Post Trophy last year, and obviously that was a bit too much for him. I think he's a better horse than that. And he'd before that, in his Nottingham Maiden, he'd beaten Savannah Star and all those, you know, that horse that won the... Is it Savannah Star? Yeah, the one that won the classic trial. I thought he was really quite impressed with that. Then the other one would be the filly in the sort of novice race at the end of the season. This is always a good race. That mile and a half used to be a maiden. Now it's a novice race. And I know Gosden had one in their High Garden that he was thinking of running in the as an Oaks filly. And Crystal Hope of Sir Michael Stouts sort of did everything wrong and then just sprinted up the outside and won by 3 lengths. I thought she was really impressive. She's got to be group class. My guess is she'll end up running in a trial and maybe be supplemented into the Oaks. I don't think she's got an entry at the moment. Maybe she has, maybe she hasn't. But she's by Nathaniel. They stay very well. So my two to follow would be Merlin Magic and Crystal Hope.
Tom?
I thought Equus Amadeus ran a really good race and the opener at Sandown in behind that... Anir, Suede Horse called Ballymoy. I thought he ran a really nice race for Tom Lacey, finishing third, and I'd be very keen to keep an eye on where he was to end up next. I still think he's well handicapped.
There's Horse of Haydock of Tom Daskins called Proschema or Proschema. Won very, very nicely indeed. He's got high hopes for it. I think it might be entered in the Dante. It might be going somewhere like that, some kind of derby trial next. Yeah, I mean, you don't normally associate Tom Daskin with Derby-type horses, but there's no reason why he can't have one. very good trainer, and yeah, won very, very nicely at the weekend. So Proschema or Proschema, I don't know how you pronounce it, but yeah, he was very good.
Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. If you enjoy listening to these podcasts, please rate, review and subscribe on iTunes.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather or the gym.